clean energy industries have faced some conflicting signals in recent years. When President Trump returned to office, he pushed to end federal subsidies for things like solar panels, electric cars, heat pumps, and more efficient appliances, and directed the federal government to pay energy companies to cancel wind energy projects.
But with energy costs soaring, in part because of the war in Iran, green infrastructure is still getting a lot of interest and development. How are these conflicting pressures affecting Wisconsin businesses and consumers?
In a moment, we'll hear from one of Wisconsin's larger solar installers. But first, for an overview, we turn to Emma Hines, principal at Advanced Energy United, where she works with policymakers, businesses, and advocates to promote clean energy in Wisconsin. Emma, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
There is a lot of flux and motion when it comes to energy these days. A big change, of course, from the White House in attitudes toward clean energy, demand from data centers, Iran war, so many things going on. Big picture, how would you characterize Wisconsin in its transition to clean energy and technology?
It's certainly a tumultuous time in the industry, but not all hope is lost. I think we're still in a really great space in Wisconsin on the clean energy transition, mostly because the economics have really changed over the last decade of how we're using clean energy. Right now, you know, we're seeing so much load growth from home electrification, from data centers, from EVs, all kinds of different areas. But renewable energy is really ready to meet that moment. Right now, renewable energy is the fastest form of energy to get on the grid, and it's also the cheapest per unit of energy that you're using. So we have the tools to be able to meet this moment, which is really exciting.
When it comes to things like solar and wind power, how does Wisconsin compare to neighboring states?
So we're not doing as well as a lot of other states in the Midwest. And I think, you know, policy is really important for that. A lot of states like Illinois or Michigan or Minnesota have had really strong climate and clean energy packages in the last couple of years from the state government that's really directed utilities to put more clean energy on the grid. We haven't had that in the same way in Wisconsin. And so I think, you know, we're lagging behind a little bit because we haven't had such clear instructions essentially from the state government. But the economics are really catching up. And so when Wisconsin is looking to put so much energy on the grid in the next 10 years, utilities are really looking at renewable energy, utility scale wind and solar to meet that moment.
We're seeing, of course, demand from data centers and other increasing electrical demand. And the temptation, I think, has been to say, hey, we need to keep a coal power plant open longer, which Wisconsin will do with a White House grant. We need new natural gas plants to meet that baseline capacity need. How do you make the case to turn to renewables instead of those more traditional coal power and natural gas plants?
If we really want to make the affordable decision for ratepayers, it's more economical to take those coal plants and natural gas plants offline, replace it with new clean energy, and use that to power the data centers, power your EVs and things like that. The difference is so drastic in terms of cost comparison that it doesn't always make sense, you know, why it would seem cheaper to keep something online, but the economics of renewables are really just in our favor. And part of that has to do with the fact that we don't pay for fuel. The sun pretty much always shines and the wind is constantly blowing here in the Midwest. So you're not as dependent on, you know, foreign conflicts in the Middle East or different, you know, federal trade policies or things like that for how expensive your power bill is going to be.
Another big hope, I think, from the clean energy world would be electrification of our automobile fleet so that electricity generated by renewable sources could replace gasoline and diesel. Wisconsin, I understand, has been a little slow when it comes to adopting electric vehicles. What do you see happening here, especially as some federal subsidies have gone away?
Yeah, absolutely. Wisconsin has been on the slower side. And I think, you know, it's sort of a chicken and egg problem for vehicle electrification because people are hesitant to invest in such a, you know, different kind of car if they don't see charging infrastructure around them. Range anxiety is a huge issue of people saying, well, you know, I go up to Wausau to visit my in-laws 3 times a year. So I don't know. I haven't seen charging along my route. It's probably not a good fit for me. But then also from the charging developer side, they maybe might be more hesitant to invest in charging stations because there are less EVs in the state than, say, Illinois or Minnesota or something. So the state has done a really good job with what's called the NEVI program. It's the National EV Infrastructure Program that is designed to create kind of a statewide network of fast charging along our major highway corridors. So that is designed to really bring more visible, reliable charging stations so people know they can get across the state and go to a Packer game or something and not have to worry about their range running out.
Getting back to that home solar you mentioned a few moments ago, there have been concerns that with the end of federal subsidies for home solar, that's going to take away some of the infrastructure, right? The companies that have been installing them might not stick around. What are you seeing when it comes to capacity in Wisconsin to build and install solar panels?
Yeah, I definitely would say the solar industry, specifically the residential solar industry, is not going away. It probably is consolidating a fair amount because you have to think about, you know, these tax credits were up to 30% of project costs. And so the businesses that aren't able to essentially cut their costs by 30% to stay afloat, that's not an economical decision for them anymore. So we're certainly going to see the industry consolidate, but it doesn't change the demand for these kinds of projects. Folks that maybe were interested in rooftop solar before, that doesn't go away just because the tax credit goes away. It changes the economics and it maybe changes the timeline of their decision and when they'll choose to make that investment and who's able to make that investment. It requires 30% more cash, but folks are still really looking for ways to reduce their energy bill, you know, reduce the amount of natural gas they're using or something like that. It's still a really important tool for people to kind of reduce their carbon input from the utility bill.
Emma, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Emma Hines is a principal at Advanced Energy United, where she works with policymakers, businesses, and advocates to promote clean energy in Wisconsin. Now we'll meet a company that's a leader in the green sector here in the state. J.D. Smith is Director of Marketing and Public Relations at Arch Solar. The Milwaukee-based company installs solar energy and battery power for utilities, companies, and residents around the country. J.D., thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
We just heard that this is a rough time for some solar installers with some consolidation expected in the industry. What are you seeing there at Arch Solar?
So I would say that that's accurate. It really depends on a lot of dynamics for that installer. Basically, the main two are size and what they build. If you're a small solar company that primarily services homeowners, you're definitely in for a rockier period. Arch is really fortunate because we are one of the largest in Wisconsin, and we're also one of the oldest. We've been around since 2003. And a side effect of that is that we do every size of solar, which that is what you kind of need to do to navigate these ups and downs of the coaster. And right now we're in a major downward trend for certain parts of the industry.
Yeah, on that residential, right, that home solar, how big an impact were the rebates going on, the incentives from the federal government under the Biden administration, and then those going away under the second Trump administration?
Well, the biggest thing about the incentives was that they were locked in for 10 years. So that kind of gave homeowners, you know, previous to the Biden administration, the investment tax credit for residential solar would change every year. It would go from 24% to 22% to 20% and then back up to 26%, which meant that every year you were kind of gambling. What the IRA did was it locked it in for 10 years, and that kind of gave homeowners, okay, you can plan for it. So we saw that it actually slowed down sales because there wasn't a cliff coming of we got to get this in while the tax credit's still there. It removed that sense of urgency, which for me is a really good thing because it means that people are taking their time making the decisions, which means happier customers. When it went away, we saw a lot of people rushing to get in right before the tax credit went, which at the end of the day, if you're going to make a upfront cash purchase that can be as much as a new car with solar, you don't want to be rushed in that decision. So that, to me, was one of the biggest negatives of how fast that got taken away in the second Trump administration.
Now, you mentioned Arch Solar been around for over 20 years now. What have been some of the biggest changes you've seen in this line of work?
When I started working on the phone 6 years ago, we would get, you know, one in four customers would ask about batteries. And then as soon as you tell them, hey, to go off the grid, you're really going to be paying, you know, over 50 grand to even think about it. Then they'd say, no, you know, I'm not interested in it, and I was only going to do this if I could go off grid. Whereas now, at least half of our customers are moving forward with batteries. And it's not about going entirely off the grid. It's about having backup in the case of an outage and just reducing your reliance on the grid. That's an entirely different dynamic where people are not taking the power grid for granted anymore. And they're doing, even if they can't go 100% cut the grid, they can protect themselves as much as possible. And that's happened in the last 2 years, really.
Now, in the holy grail for clean energy, especially renewables like wind and solar, where you don't have that perpetual source, is like the most efficient and affordable battery. Have you seen that battery technology changing so that for that individual consumer, it's more of a realistic option?
Absolutely. And the reality of it is that the Tesla Powerwall was kind of the breakthrough in terms of not technology, but in terms of marketing and accessibility. The name brand of Tesla, particularly back in 2020 to 2022, was so powerful that people were like, hey, I've heard Tesla has a battery. We introduced them to a bunch of options, including Generac even has a battery made here in Wisconsin. You know, they purchased a old company and fixed it up and have a great product. But that mind share of people being aware, because I think back in 2022, if you asked the average person, did you know you could have your home run off a battery powered by the sun? They'd say no way. Whereas now, if you say that thing, people are like, yeah, it sounds realistic. That's a huge change, and we're seeing, but the real progress in batteries that we're seeing is on the utility scale.
And you mentioned you do a lot of different size projects. Are you doing those utility scale? You know, you see not just a collector on a rooftop, but a whole bunch of collectors altogether.
Correct. Right now, that's where the solar industry is still growing like you wouldn't believe, because just even without the tax credits, solar economics just makes sense. It's also the only form of power plant you can build really fast, under a year in almost every case. And you can also build it in a variety of locations. That's not the same for a natural gas plant or a coal plant. So solar farms that put power directly onto the grid are growing across the country, in some states more than others. And now what we're seeing in Wisconsin right now, but especially in Illinois and Minnesota, is batteries. Huge scale batteries that, you know, can store over a megawatt of power are starting to become connected to the grid. That's going to be the next 5 years of work.
Now, we've talked a little bit about residential, right? Rooftop solar, utility mm-hmm. scale. I'm curious about the sort of middle things. Like I'll see at the airport, say, well, we've got land. We can't build anything here because flight path. We could put panels there. And I've seen them do that. Farm fields in some cases where they'll have borders of solar panels. Are you seeing a lot of people, you know, finding those funky spaces where you can get more than just that couple panels on a roof, less than utility scale?
So those are my personal favorite projects because they're kind of the sweet spot where businesses, communities, nonprofits, and organizations can come together. And in some cases, that has the greatest wins. I think one of our recent projects is the Pettit National Ice Center. Solar there isn't going to take their whole bill. They use far too much energy, but the payback and economics of it are fantastic. So that's something that I drive by living in Milwaukee almost every day and get to see. And now that's powered by the sun. And then you have nonprofits. I used to work in the nonprofit sector. You need every penny to go somewhere and go as stretch it as far as you can. For them, solar makes a lot of sense when you have high energy. So like Hunger Task Force is a great partner of ours that has done solar. And for them, it makes sense. What I would say in the new era of post-tax credits, I always encourage businesses, make sure you know what your energy loads are. It's almost best if the accountants are running it, because solar is electricity, which means you can measure it. We really like working with either new builds who know exactly how much energy is going to be on there, or large energy consumers like the Pettit who monitor their energy usage very carefully.
JD, thanks so much for sharing your work with us.
Anytime, Rob. Thank you for having me.
JD Smith is Director of Marketing and Public Relations at Arch Solar, a Milwaukee-based company that installs solar energy and battery storage. Earlier, we heard from Emma Hines, a principal at Advanced Energy United. We've been talking about renewable energy here in Wisconsin.